Well, good morning, everybody. It's a joyous day to be here in the house of the Lord, as it is every Sunday. A special welcome to Aiden and his family and friends who are here. Aiden will be making his first Holy Communion today at this Mass. Aiden is in eighth grade, and I hope you don't mind me sharing a little bit, Aiden, that Aiden goes to Shelbyville Middle School and is good friends with several folks from our church, Chris and Franklin and Sam and several others. And his friends were talking to him about God. And Aiden said, I want my first communion. I want Jesus. I want to be living this Catholic life because of the influence of his friends who are middle schoolers at this parish. Isn't that beautiful to see the faith of Jesus alive and well so much in our young people? And so Aiden and I have had several one-on-one classes and things, and with the support of his family and friends, today he makes his first Holy Communion. Very much congratulations to you, Aiden. We're so excited for you. But today is just like, this is perfect for the theme of our readings today, because we have to like do this life together. And on Tuesday, by the way, is the feast day of Saint Monica. Saint Monica prayed so hard for her son, because her son Augustine, he had fallen away from God. She raised him in the faith, and he was born, by the way, in the year 354, a few years ago, and she raised him as a Catholic. And remember that for 1500 some years, Catholic was the only type of Christianity there was. And so she raised him in that, and very sadly he fell away, just as we hear in our gospel today, that Jesus, who has just told them the best news ever, that he is alive and present in the Blessed Sacrament, that he is here, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He told them, and some of his disciples, like, they say, this is too hard to understand, and they begin to leave. And often Jesus talks about the cross, and people just are like, man, that's too heavy. I'm going to go the other way. And that's what happened with poor Augustine. And Monica, though, she prayed. She never gave up on her son, who had fallen away from Jesus. And she prayed every day for him. She wept every day for him. We can never give up on the people in our lives who have fallen from God. We can never give up on them. We must pray for them and weep for them. And so she prayed, but she knew that her influence as a mother apparently wasn't going to bring him back. She tried, and she tried hard. But what she did was she prayed that God would send a friend into his life. And wouldn't you know that when she began praying for that, God answered. And God sent a young man named Ambrose into the life of Augustine. And Ambrose was a hardcore Catholic, a man who had given himself to the Lord in every way. And Ambrose befriends Augustine. And through this holy friendship, Augustine comes back to God and now is a saint, one of the greatest saints of our church. We read his writings so often in the office of readings every morning as a church around the world. In the first reading, it's Joshua. And remember, Joshua is the one who brings the people. Remember, Moses had led them through the desert and all these things, but Moses disappointed God when he failed to trust him completely. And remember the knocking on the rock. And so Joshua is the one that actually leads the people, the Israelites, into the promised land. And we hear in our first reading that beautiful mantra, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is so important, because we're meant to be a Joshua to someone. We're meant to be a person who, like Joshua, says, man, I'm about Jesus, and I want to walk with you to him. And just like Ambrose with Augustine, I want to walk with you to him, to the promised land, which is heaven.
I want to walk with you and guide. Let's go together. And we need each other on this journey of faith. We cannot do it alone, which is why the second reading, which is often misunderstood and misheard and all these things, but this whole idea of being subordinate to each other, you got a subordinate clause is where you have like a sentence that is separate. It's like two parts with a comma in between. And the first part is subordinate to the other part, and the both sides of the thing need each other to make sense. Like the second half needs the first half to make sense, and the first half needs the second for the sense of completion. And Jesus is telling us here that we need each other to make sense. We need each other to do the life of faith. We need each other if we're ever going to hope to get to the promised land. And Jesus, in the second reading, says that wives are to be subordinate to their husbands because the Lord has in mind in that moment a man like Joshua who says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need more men like that. We need more fathers and husbands who say, as for me and my house, we're about the promised land. We're about Jesus, and nothing else matters unless it is serving that end. We need more men like that. And that's why the scripture is saying that when you have a man like that, we got to follow. We got to follow. And Joshua and Ambrose are beautiful examples of this. But then the husband has it harder, because the scripture goes on to say that the husband's supposed to love the wife like Jesus, the church, which is by dying for her. Which means that the husband must every day lay down his life for his bride. Lay down his life for her. Lay down his will. Lay down his whatever he wants for her. That's a hard part. But we need this. So subordination, we need each other. We depend on each other to make this journey of faith. Just as Augustine depended on Ambrose and the Israelites depended on Joshua, we need each other to do this journey right. The Eucharistic revival, that three-year beautiful experience of the church that we just finished, many of us at Lucas Oil Stadium, the Convention Center, about a month ago, Eucharistic Congress with Catholics from everywhere. It's awesome. But it ended with this invitation that we're all meant to walk with one. And what does that mean, walk with one? It means that you and I are all, because of the Great Commission, it's not the great suggestion from Jesus to go make disciples of all nations. It's not the great suggestion, if you have time for it, it's the Great Commission that we are supposed to go out and win souls for heaven, so that there will be people in the promised land who said, I am here because of you, Joshua, or because of you, Father Mike, or because of you, Aiden, or because of you, Christopher, or because of you, Molly, or because of you, whoever. That this is the thing. It's like we're supposed to accompany people, walk with people to the promised land. And we can look around the world and we say, oh my gosh, this thing is going to hell in a handbasket. And 78% of Shelby County has no religion at all. These figures can be so daunting. And we say, how can we ever fix this, you know? How can we ever do... But the invitation is to find one person. Everybody, from youth on up, find one person. Be a Joshua to them. Be an Ambrose to them. Bring them to the Lord. Bring them ultimately to heaven. And in the pews, you can take this with you. It's a piece of paper. It's a four-step process. I just copied it right off of the Eucharistic Congress website. And it's easy peasy. Number one, you identify that one person. You pray about it. Lord, who is that one person for me? Maybe it's a Catholic that used to be in these pews every Sunday and we don't see them anymore. Maybe it's a co-worker that isn't even baptized. Maybe it's somebody that's never heard of Jesus, never any... Whatever it is, who's that one person? Who's your one person? Everybody pick one person with the Lord. Let the Lord pick for you. The second thing that you do is you pray and fast for them. You pray and fast that they come to Jesus, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no life outside of me. and Jesus is the Eucharist, it matters. It matters to the eternal cost of our souls. And so we find that person, we intercede and we pray for them. And then we connect with them. We connect with them in a natural way and invite them. Number four, we invite them. Maybe it looks like inviting somebody to go to Monday morning Bible study. Maybe it looks like inviting somebody to spend 15 minutes with you in the chapel. Maybe it looks like inviting somebody to come to Mass. Maybe it looks like, but saying, I'll go with you. I'll pick you up. We can go have lunch after. Maybe it looks like we're about to bring back small groups. We've talked about it at both parish councils. We're about to bring those back. Maybe it's inviting somebody who's fallen away from God or who's never met Jesus, inviting them into a small group where you can break open the Word of God together, you know? Maybe it looks like a high school person saying to another person from school that doesn't, I'll come to youth group with me. Let's go to youth group together. Or let's go to the new Bible study that the youth group is going to be having. Let's do this. There's so many ways, but we have to invite. Do you know how many people are in heaven because of an invitation? And it matters. It's the eternal, or it's the Great Commission that we have been invited to be a part of. Because it's not just about filling the pews. It's about filling heaven. It's about filling heaven. And as a consequence, we'll fill the pews at the same time. Let's thank our Lord. And let's all pick one. Walk with one. Be a Joshua to someone. Be an Ambrose to someone. Who, when they get to heaven, when you get to heaven, you will find out how many people are there because of you. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.